John F. Kennedy Library, Papers of President Kennedy, Presidential Recordings, Audio Tape Number 10, Item 2.
Talking to Stan Winsberg about that yesterday. He says they didn't know whether that's a good sign be necessarily a bad development, but it's what's happened.
We had any figures of factory earnings in July?
Factory earnings in July fell 71 cents. $96.56 were average weekly factory earnings. The decline, even in this little amount, is due to the fact that the hours have dropped by that 1.3 tenths from June. It stands on 40.4 hours. It's over 40 hours.
It should be noted on these unemployment figures that manufacturing unemployment increased, or manufacturing employment dropped, even, is that right?
Services and other expenses.
mangled. If you'll put it together, we have to explain it.
This is another half of the other parts of the budget, Mr. President, including salary trust payments. Now, salaries will be in here because those are services purchased. But this would be the transfer payments of various kinds.
Now, they're going on budget.
Yes.
They're going 1 billion in the third quarter. About 3 billion in the fourth.
This is, these are the federal expenditures, national regulations, during the year.
Put this little piece along with what you have. And now it's time to mangle it out and try to get it out of that motor. You'll see that in all those prior periods, the unemployment rate dipped lower and started to rise later than is happening now. That's part of the problem. If you look back to 48, 54, 58, right now, that chart indicates that. Also, it's true that at some point they went up higher. Recession was a deeper recession than some of the prior ones.
The height has been since the World War II, was that 49?
49. So it went up past 7.
Oh, well, that was a coal strike. That was just one incident.
Yeah, the
58 figure is, I guess, the worst of the book.
Which other room also?
7.5%. Summarizing on those government expenditures, Mr. President, I think it's accurate to say that government outlays, purchase of goods and services, and other kinds of outlays will be rising slowly through the next several quarters. These expectations have all been taken into account in the economic projections that have been put before you and that have been placed before the committee by these various outside economists and so on. These figures are all public and well known. Those who say that we're going to have a sideways movement, a downturn, or a very slow upturn are all basing those judgments on figures which include these projections here.
My own summary would be that if the case for tax cuts had to rest on disaster figures in July, the issue is already resolved. The July figures are a little better than might have been expected, and better than some of the aggregates. I think that speaking now non-economically, that's quite important politically because it makes it more difficult to identify a downturn with any particular governmental action.
That's a good point. There's no doubt that the longer we go from the May-June stock thing, politically, it's some advantage. And in addition, the more these figures come out about the difficulty in Germany and all the rest, all this changes somewhat this from being a curse to being a national problem.
Yeah, and it isn't just politically in the sense of elections, but I never trust historians getting right, but they're too tempted to get things very wrong if certain things happen very close together, then they take a superficial explanation. So I think that's a significant indication of July figures. It also pretty much precludes, in my mind, the notion that we've already had a downturn, which you couldn't rule out from being that here last time. Now, the question is, that has very great implications for the political feasibility of any action right now, maybe, whatever. But I've tried to address myself to the economics of the situation, just to see what difference the July figures make in my mind on that. And although a lot of the July figures are incomplete, we do have 1 month's more figures on even things that aren't available in July, and it's sort of a mixed bag there. It looks to me as if any initial shock of the stock market precipitating a drop off can be discounted now on the basis of the July figures.
Well, can I interrupt you for one point? What would be the effect? I got some information which has to remain confidential. Republic Steel, Tom Patton came in to see me the day before yesterday. He said they're going to have to announce a reduction in their dividend at their annual meeting, which may set off in other steel companies the same thing. Their dividend is $3. They're going to cut it to $2 on August the 22nd. But they said they're not dividends. The thing I raised that is to whether we're not going to have another stock market reaction.
Well, I think the thing about other steel companies, the important thing there is, the fortunate thing is that Bethlehem and the U.S. have already taken their action.
Danger has been averted now because U.S. Steel and Bethlehem have stuck the quarter. They may have a quarter from now.
Yeah.
Go down, but it won't be bunched altogether. That would be my
zero. But I fear this.
Yeah, he's attempting to put it down.
Well, he came in as a matter of courtesy, and he says on the basis of their earnings, they have to recommend the executive officers that they reduce their dividend, and they will do that when they meet on August 22nd.
Where would they have been if they put it? That price increase, you know, with the difficulties that happened there.
Well, they said.
What do they say now?
This may be a move for a price increase, Mr. President. That's what may be behind it. They may say they just can't meet their dividends, and that the only way, and since operations even in the last quarter don't promise to be much better, they think they'll be improved some. The only way to pay their dividends is to increase their prices.
A number of the steel companies, Mr. President, raised their dividends very sharply in 1956-57.
Yeah.
Some, I think, even doubled their dividend on the basis of a rate of operations which was then around 90% of capacity, when they were clearly earning enough to cover these higher dividends. Now that they're running at about 50% of capacity, they simply can't. I think what
the U.S. Steel companies can have to cut their dividend unless we get the investment credit, or unless there's an indication that there's going to be some tax action, and they can sort of stagger along for just enough period, because first half of the year they earned $1.50 or $1.52 in dividends, $1.50, and they've had a labor increase on the 1st of July, which will add that, and then the third quarter will be down their production, so they'll go way short.
Let's say,
I think their dividend's too high.
Well,
so
they show, part of the projection that they showed me was that with the tax credit, with the depreciation allowance, which actually cuts down their profits and on service, and with an anticipated permanent tax credit, at the rate of operations, of course, that they're going in now, they can't earn their dividends. With all those tax features.
On the other hand, I think Inland Steel covered their year's dividend.
Oh, well, they look sui generis. Joe Block is so much better than any of them. But what I worry about, the reason I mention that, Paul, is that knowing the way the steel industry operates, even in these days, with a vigilant look on part of Bobby at their operations, this indicates to me a movement by the steel industry to cut their dividends.
But U.S. Steel U.S. Steel, I think, would have cut their dividends this time if they hadn't felt that cause public reaction that would upset things at this time, and they wanted to carry on just as long as they could. Blau talked to me two or three days before the meeting and said, they didn't know what they're going to do, but that they realize this is a very serious thing, and they're going to look at it with national interest and so forth. I thought that meant they were going to keep it on. They didn't keep it on.
Well, I raised this because of the possibility.
No, I think in terms of simple business prudence without any politics, this is very understandable. The implication to me is that I believe the second quarter profits are now, estimates are now available, which weren't available when we met last, and they aren't good. They do indicate, it was an open question, but I thought would be resolved in this way, that the fourth quarter of last year probably would have peaked for profits. So from now on, there will be a lot of companies that if they don't have the increase in GNP, but experience shows that in order to hold profits constant, you can't just hold GNP constant at this stage of the business cycle. nothing in the July figures that I've seen that would shake the majority viewpoint that we're in the final stages of a boom, which will peter out the way booms have petered out of the post-war. Not with a sharp peak and then down, but just hold on, and finally go off. And the majority opinion, now that it has resolved, it wasn't the turn didn't come mid-year, would probably say around the turn of the year, the more optimistic view would be the middle of the year. The thing could go on until the middle of the year. I'm not aware that, from the pure economics of the case, that a tax reduction is affected by which of those views is right. Because to take the arguments for a tax reduction, there's first the early action is the efficient, and in the end, the dollar saving action. Well, we still can take the action while it's early, if we want to do so. Now, it also, just in terms of timing of the different deficits, I think it might have a politically slightly better timing rather than throw a big deficit into fiscal 64, which to my mind is going to be the bigger deficit. You could move a little bit into fiscal 63. Also, the total amount of the deficit, if you have early action, that gives promise of the effect, it ought to be smaller. That part is the same. The argument that against too early action in the past, I think a very powerful and good argument, has been there's always been a danger that you keep up an inflationary boom, and that there'll be a price increase if you act prematurely. This time, I don't know any group who argue that there's a price inflation danger from a tax reduction. I happen to think that a tax reduction in the short run is in line with the general direction of the intermediate run, change in the tax structure that's needed. I speak now not in terms of qualitative change, but quantitative change. And finally, this hanging on period means very slow growth and justifies the tax in
just two questions. First, let's say we had a $5 or $6 million tax cut now, that would put $5 or $6 billion more into the economy. But would that mean that we're just going to postpone, say, for 6 months the downturn? Why would $6 billion now give a enough of a thrust to keep this thing going? Of course, to answer that question, you have to like to ask you the question perhaps first. Why is it that this boom and downturn has been really so short?
Yes. Well, let me answer that question. As far as I can see, the thing has been so short because in the private investment sector, taking into account the level of capacity, taking into account the need for cost reduction, the availability of funds, and all the rest, there just has been no plus signs of working for us. There hasn't been any keenness to invest in advance. Business is pretty liquid. It promises to become more liquid if some of the things that we're going to do for it go through. But the plant equipment thing has just not been like the first post-war period. Take the 1948 downturn. It hasn't been at all like the 56-57. It hasn't had that feel at any time. It would be whistling in the dark, it seems to me, to dream up that kind of buoyancy in the private economy. The things we do are going to help, but you can't just put in a drop of water into the pump and then think the pump is going to start spilling forth things. At least there's no evidence for that. Now, I'm in the case of the tax reduction.
But let me just ask you, before you go, in other words, what the unused capacity is so great in the economy that there really is an incentive for more investment than modernization or technological changes require. Does that indicate that that's the situation we're going to face all through the 60s?
I would avoid long-term forecasts, but I would say for the next 3-4 years, the burden of proof would be on somebody who turned in the other direction.
There's a big school of thought that thinks that this is the most difficult time up till about, I'd say, 65, when the mass of war babies, the bigger increase in population, begin to get married, form homes, and become real consumers on themselves, and that point that there would be,
And also getting the economy moving does help. You can take industry after industry, paper industry and others, where they're going into that capacity slowly, and it's...
Yesterday we had Mr. Greenwald here. He said they had the best year in their history. They're up 8%, but he said they're only using 80% of their capacity. They still have 20% more, and while they're going to put in some, $300 million for new... obviously, there's every dollar they spend they could save, that's an extra 20%. This is an industry which is having a good year. If this thing run out of gas as quickly as it is, it's not because I had my fire on steel, or how important is an economic historian do you consider that situation?
I try not to be partisan, but I don't think that's the
significant. That might have an effect on the vigor of the stock market decline, but not on this basic economic problem.
No, it has an effect upon the rationalization and the real articulation of feeling.
Yeah, so that kind of comes out of it. But as far as just looking at the basic economic problem.
No.
Well, if the problem is the what we're talking about, I don't really see how much, to me, $8 billion tax reduction, if we did it today, wouldn't that just postpone our troubles? Because our troubles seem to be really eating up our inventories.
My way of interpreting mechanics is always just the reverse. Suggests to me that what you need is a tax reduction. And I want to comment on one part of mechanics. Some people think that what a tax reduction does is get you something at the beginning, like the announcement effect. Then that wears off. Now what's your new gimmick? That isn't what I think of. I think of it as a change of the amount of the purchasing power in the hands of people every month, so long as the tax rate reduction is in effect. And so I don't look for, I'm not as optimistic, for example, as the Secretary is on the immediate effects of these different things, even qualitatively. I just think the 54 code had an effect upon equipment that took years to take place. I think the investment credit will have its effect, but people have to sharpen up their pencils.
The effect of a tax cut immediately on demand, though, if you cut personal income taxes, doesn't that reflect pretty quickly?
Yes, but it's not by an announcement effect. It's not because of the regional paper Mr. Hill has given him something. He died at the end of the week, but...
Out at 4-0 because the currency factor.
there is reason to think when you actually get into the figures that if you can keep the economy from going down and growing, that capacity is, we're growing into our riches, and that you'll get help from the private economy. So,
well, at that point, it's worth noting that across the board, we're at about 87% of capacity at that stage. So it doesn't take many more points to push industry to expand their capacities if they like to operate at around 90-91% of capacity.
And when you take the estimates that have been made, I mean, take some of the governmental estimates that I've seen, or take the Exxon and so forth, when they put in the tax reduction, they pick up something. It isn't that you're giving away a dollar of revenue and then there's no effect upon the economy at all. But I would go farther and say that if you didn't pick up anything, as would perhaps be the case in the Great Depression in the 1933-34 period, every extra dollar deficit, there was so much excess capacity that it wouldn't get you much in the way of private investment. The economic case would be very strong. And in a way, it really is a matter of arithmetic. If you don't get the private investments, naturally, and you have more people coming in all the time, you have need for production. To have that filled in by a more expansionary governmental policy, taking out less from the economy, makes sense in terms of the arithmetic. In other words, things have to grow.
End audio tape 10, item 2.